There's no other show quite like The Ron Van Dam Show. Thank God for that. Oh, can you imagine if there were two of these or more? Whoa, that is a world I do not want to live in. There's only one, and it's enough. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, come a little closer.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come a little closer to the speaker. I don't bite. I chew, but I don't bite. Come on, come on. Go over to the speaker. That's where my voice is coming out of. And touch the speaker. Do that now. Yes. Oh, yes. All right, that's enough. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. I need to do this. First is a lovely and talented Jason Shaw, the opening theme, the closing theme, many of the incidental music things that you hear during the program, incidentally, all composed and gently and nicely given to us by the lovely and talented Jason Shaw. Give it up for him. I don't know what give it up means. Applaud or give up your wallet. I don't know what that means. And then there's a lovely and talented John Shanahan, comedian, creative wizard, announcer, does many of the comedy segments on the show. My God, what a wonderful, wonderful human being. And then the lovely and talented Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Spoiler alert, she's not really British. She just does accents. I'm sorry, but that's what happened. And she books many of the national interviews that you hear on this show. And then there's me. I just stop by to pick up my laundry. Oh, I forgot. Then there's you. Okay, good. Let's fade that sucker out, huh? Well, how are you today? Good to see you. You're looking very distinguished today, may I say? Are those new socks? Very nice. I don't notice people's feet at all, ever. I don't. I never look at your feet. I have the opposite of a foot fetish. I don't care about the feet. They're utilitarian little pieces, and I don't really care how they look. They're usually hidden inside of socks and shoes and all those kinds of things. So it's really no point. Ladies, painting your toenails, it ain't for me because I'm not looking. I don't even care. And by the way, why are you painting your toenails? That's a little odd to me, you see. To put paint on your, who are you, Bob Ross? He was a painter on PBS. Yeah, I don't look at the feet. You know, they are there to get us around. Some people put their feet up, you know, when they're relaxing. I don't look at that. I don't look at it. I'm not looking at that. Mm-mm. There's other parts of the body that are far more interesting than your damn feet. Feet are not attractive to me. I have the opposite of a foot fetish. If I ran into someone who said, I have a foot fetish, I would say to them, I don't. Shoe fetish? No way. That's part of the foot fetish thing that I don't like or I'm not into. I don't care what shoes you're wearing. I have no... women wearing high heels? Why? What's your point? What do you think you're doing here? Why are you wearing high heels? Who came up with this idea? Is it basically that women are short? No, not by definition. Human beings are short by definition, some of them, but no, not especially women. Are women shorter than men? I don't know. I don't care. But why do you have to wear heels to make yourself taller? What's the point of that? Why? Why? What's your point? If you're too short, stand on a box, get a phone book. I mean, seriously, why would you shove all the weight on your body into your toes in these like 2-inch heels? What's the problem with you? Why would you do something like that on purpose? Who's making you do this? This is self-torture is what it is. Just get platform shoes. Remember those? No, most of you don't. They're regular shoes. They were just on platforms. They look stupid, but so do heels. Come on. Cut it out. Runway models. Put some weight on. Have a sandwich. What are you doing? Really skinny women are not attractive to me. They're not. They're not at all. No, sorry. And your high heels make you look even weirder. It's like you're hiking or something and you're stepping on large boulders or rocks. What's wrong with, what are you doing? Women, really skinny women, I got to tell you, most men, not into it, not into it. Might look good in a magazine, I don't know. But, too skinny. Come on, let's go out to dinner. Fatten yourself up. Oh, I'm going to have a salad. I'm the only one a salad. Okay, whatever. Am I being a little caustic here? I'm just telling you what I like. Now, there are many men that like certain stuff. And, God, the fetish list. If you Googled fetish, you could be on that Google machine all day. Not that I have. I'm just assuming that that's the case. Fetish just means that you're really into something, like, really too much. It's like having a dish of ice cream, but you really love ice cream. I mean, to the point where you can't stop eating. That's a fetish. And what's wrong with fetishes? Nothing really. Just keep them to yourself. Don't make them public. That's a personal thing. Shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear about that. Ron, I have a foot fetish. Shut up. How does that affect me? What am I supposed to do with that? So you have a foot fetish. What do you want me to watch? What do you want from me? Don't tell me that. I don't need to know that. Too much information. Hey, Bob. Bob's got a foot fetish. I don't care. Let him deal with that, then. Have an intervention. Bob, we invited you over here, not for a party. We want to talk about your foot fetish. Who cares? No one wants to talk about your foot fetish. I will say, however, see, I don't like people touching my feet. Again, the opposite of a foot fetish. I need those things. Don't fool with them. However, I got a gift for a year's massage at this massage chain. It was called Massage Envy or Massage Fetish. I have no idea. And once a month, this gift certificate allowed me to go in and get an hour massage. And by the way, the word massage and message, way too close in spelling. Too close. Come up with another word for one of those things. One letter and we're into a different thing. So I don't like that. Too close. So I had never in my life had like a real serious massage. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I go into this place, a nice place, I suppose. I mean, I'm just not into it, so I don't know what it was. I sat there and they sent me into a room with very relaxing music, like the Dalai Lama was going to come and start playing with me or something. And I'm sitting in this very comfortable chair and there's comfortable music. The lights are low. There's a fish tank, the whole bit. Enya is the star of the relaxation music. Are you familiar with Enya, E-N-Y-A? If you're not, check that out. She relaxes you. Doesn't put you to sleep, just relaxes you. Not a bad deal, to be honest. I listened to Enya for a long time when I was younger, and it worked pretty good. Anyway, so I'm listening to this relaxing music, and then this this woman comes out of nowhere, basically, and says, Ron, follow me. I said, all right, did you want me to also like you and subscribe to you on Facebook? I said, no, I mean, follow me down the hallway, and I'll take you to the room of passion. Okay, stop it. And I follow her, and she asked me to take all my clothes off except for my underpants. And I said, okay, now you. She didn't do that, and she didn't laugh. I thought it was funny. She didn't. I would have felt a lot more comfortable if she had stripped down to her panties, but she didn't. And I'm not sure that I would really want her to. So she asked me, then she comes back and she says, and I'll be back shortly. And I said, don't say shortly when you ask me to lie in underpants. Don't say that word. So she comes back and I'm under a blanket and she says, okay, now turn face down. I said, okay. And stick your face in that pillow hole. Excuse me, please. Yeah, at the end of the massage contraption, torture thing, they have a circular pillow, the kind that you use when you're on an airline and you want to get some sleep, you know, one of those neck pillow things. This is something that's attached to the end, and you stick your face in it as if you're going to throw up, and you get a lovely view of the carpet while you're getting a massage. Nothing's more relaxing than a good view of a carpet. So then she starts massaging me, and in my mind, she's massaging my whole body, you know, little by little. You know, she expands it into an hour, and every time she gets near my ass, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do if she touches my ass? What am I going to do? I was obsessed. So she's doing that. And then after that, she said, and by the way, an hour massage, way too long. There's nothing to do. There's no TV. There's just the carpet. There's the carpet. And then when you turn around, it's the ceiling. That's it. I mean, like, oh, like, what am I going to do here? Like, can we play like mind games or something? Or like, go fish. I'm thinking of a number between 10 and 15, 12. Yeah, that's right. Nothing to do. Boring. An hour of that? Boring. Even my body is saying, all right, enough. I get it. Then she asked me to lie on my back. Now I'm a little bit more scared that if she touches the crotch area, I may respond accordingly. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to see the little blanket rise up a little bit. We don't want that. And then I'm saying to myself, why not? Why not? It's natural if that's what's happening. Why should I stop this? So now I'm facing the ceiling tile. And I'm lying on my back, and she's massaging me and all that. She's a misogynist is what she is. She's a misogynist. She gets down to my feet, and my immediate reaction is, oh, don't touch my feet. Oh, don't touch my feet. And then she does, and it's like, okay. But then she massages my feet, the bottom of my feet, and all of a sudden I'm seeing why some people find that to be an erogenous location. Not that I was stimulated by it, but it was very, very pleasing. And Enya's going full blast, and I got ceiling tiles on, you know, it's fantastic. So the foot massage, not so bad, really. No stranger shall ever clip my toenails. That is a no-no. No-no. That is my stuff and my stuff alone. Because I don't know what my feet look like. There are two places on my body that I rarely see and one never see. And I talked about this on a show about half a year ago. I've never seen my back, ever. I've never looked in my ass. I physically cannot do that. I cannot see my back. I can't even touch parts of my back. I am not that kind of limber guy. I can't even look in a mirror and see my back because my head doesn't turn around that much. It takes an entire series of mirrors placed perfectly for me to see what my back or my ass looks like. So I don't know. Everybody else seems to know, but I have no concept whatsoever what it looks like back there. So, that I don't know. And I also don't know what the bottom of my feet look like because I am 6'3" tall. And believe me, the extra 3 inches above 6 feet really is annoying. So I cannot touch my toes, really. I can bend my knees and touch my toes, but what's underneath my foot, I've never seen the bottom of my foot. I guess I could look in a mirror, but that's just stupid. So there you go, man. And when it was all finished, she brought me a hot towel. Thank you. I appreciate that. What do you want me to do with it? She says, oh, that's like to rub your face and your hands. And I said, why? I just eat a lobster. What's the hot towel for? And she brings me a bottle of water. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Complimentary. That's nice. And then she makes some comments like, you're an idiot. She said that to me a few times. No, maybe she didn't. Maybe that was my interpretation. And then I was sent out to the lobby, and I was to make my next appointment. And I said, look, do I really have to come back? Can't we Zoom meeting these things? I mean, she said, no, come back. Come back in a month, exactly a month. And we will text you. We'll send you a text message. I said, you mean a text massage? She said, excuse me? A text massage. You change the second letter of message and put an A in there, and it becomes massage, and that's what you do. And she's just blank face like I've never seen. No expression, just a cold stare of what the hell's going on. Obviously no sense of humor. I guess you can massage people, but you can't laugh. It takes away your entire ability to respond to humor, or perhaps humor has not been released here. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just here for the ride, lady. I don't know. Now, here's the problem. I'm a guy. That's not the problem. The woman massage lady, fine, whatever. If a guy would have come down the hall and said, Ron, it's time for your massage, I would have said, oh, that's great, but I have COVID, so I got to go. I don't want a man touching me. Now, I don't know. That's a phobic thing. I mean, what's wrong with that? You know, if I meet a guy, we'll shake hands, you know, and say hello. But, you know, beyond that, no. It's squeamy. And that's just me. All right. So no male massagers for me. No, thank you very much. I don't think that's, it's not that it's improper. It's just not to my liking. Women are so much, I mean, I'm a guy, and women are so much more sensitive to one's needs. And I'm not being sexist. It's just the case. I mean, if a guy were massaging me, he'd probably be just like pounding the shit out of me. I don't know why. It's just what they do. All right. That's enough. All right. We're going to take a break. I got a commercial here to play for you because someone's got to pay for this. And then my guest will be joining us. I don't know who it is. I have no concept whatsoever. That usually surprises me. But right now, the kids going back to school. What kind of snacks should they be bringing to school with them? Here's an idea.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want peanut piggy parts. I want piggy parts.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
I'm speaking to Antonia Murphy. She's written a very interesting memoir, A Dirty Chick, A True Tales of an Unlikely Farmer. Kind of a very interesting thing. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. So happy to be here.
You're out in San Francisco, is it?
I am visiting family right now in California, but ordinarily I live in the north of New Zealand.
Yes. Now, you didn't always live there, as I understand it.
That's right. I grew up in San Francisco.
All right. And then... And you had the regular kind of urban life, I assume?
Yeah, pretty much. Trying to do some art here, trying to do some computers there.
Okay. And then for some odd reason, what came about that you said to yourself, I'm going to change my life and do something totally different?
Well, I'd always had a dream of taking off on a sailboat. You can see the horizon as you cross the Golden Gate Bridge.
Uh-huh.
So that was always a dream of mine. It wasn't possible until I met my now husband, Peter, who had the boat and had the experience to help me make that happen. In 2005, we took off sailing.
Wow. And now you became a farmer. You did the farm thing that a lot of us dream about. We want that kind of lifestyle, I guess, until we try it. But did you always want to do something like that, have your own farm?
Absolutely not. I think I always wanted to be closer to nature.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of that at sea. You know, it's pretty much as close as you can get. Well, about 3 feet from the ocean.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we'd been in New Zealand for about 5 years that we moved to the countryside for a really good tiny little country school for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we came to be living in a place where we could farm.
Yeah. And were you excited about farming, or were you thinking, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah, well, let's be clear. First of all, I do not have hundreds of head of cattle. We're not making our living that way.
Right.
But as we found ourselves on a large parcel of land, we sort of started to acquire these animals.
Uh-huh.
First of all, there's a kind of a calf club in New Zealand, which is similar to our 4-H.
Yeah.
So every year the kids acquire a baby animal, a calf, a lamb, or a young goat,
right,
and raise it. So that was sort of our gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just moved on from there to alpacas.
Yes.
And more cows. And before I knew it, I had about 40 animals.
Yeah, well, you got into the gateway drug. That's what happens, you know. So, and were you writing at that point? I mean, you're an incredible writer, and it's your works have been everywhere. Were you writing at that time?
Well, I started writing articles when we were sailing. I guess it started with a blog because I was just doing it for fun, and people started writing to me and telling me that I made them shoot coffee out their noses from laughing. And that made me so happy, I have to tell you. So when we got to New Zealand and I had tiny babies, my husband encouraged me to just start treating it like a job, to sit down every day, 3 hours, Monday through Friday, and try to be serious about it.
Yes.
And 6 years later, out comes the book.
Wow. Yeah, it's doing really well. It's interesting. I guess it's vicarious thrills for us, I suppose, in what you're doing. Do you still have that situation?
Absolutely. In fact, from what I understand, just while I was in the United States, two more horses showed up. So
yeah.
I guess now we have horses.
See, so it is growing. It is growing. Do you need intervention, or are you used to this? Is this good for you?
It seems to be going okay. I find I like a certain amount of chaos in my life. So this is definitely not a book that talks about how peaceful and bucolic living on a farm is. Yeah. This is more a book that talks about how much manure and how many parasites are involved. But I really enjoy it. And our animals, when they're well taken care of, they really don't require much. Just good fencing, access to water, and they're happy.
That's great. Are you? It's just the two of you and your kids. I mean, who do this?
That's a good point. Actually, I think the best thing we did this year was outfit a spare room so we could have backpackers come through and help us. And right now we have a young English couple staying with us who are just total superstars. And in exchange for a room and board, they help out with the kids and the animals and the land. And that's really key, is getting help, I think.
I mean, you
as with any addiction.
Oh, sir. Yes, I know. I have many of my own. But, you know, I didn't have to have a farm to do this. But it goes a little bit further than what you say, because, I mean, it is back to nature. It's not, I mean, I'm sure you buy cheese and milk, but you also, like, get that from your own place, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And, boy, I'll tell you, the first time I had a glass of raw Jersey milk from the neighbors, it was a total revelation. It was more like a delicious milk smoothie than anything I've ever had in the store. So we buy that stuff, but we also buy it from our neighbors when we can, because they produce it. And I do make my own cheese. I've been having a great time making my own cheese.
Yeah. So you make your own cheese, and yet there's manure all over the place. It's just, I don't know how.
Well, it doesn't always go well. When the cheese goes wrong, there's a sort of 5 o'clock shadow that it starts to sprout that is known as poil de chat, which is cat hair. And basically, you don't want that anywhere near something that you're going to put in your mouth. So, you know, it doesn't always work. Right before coming out to the States this time, I had to pitch a batch of cheese that looked too frightening even for me.
Do you miss the urban life? I mean, here you are in San Francisco talking to us, and you're visiting. Is there something in your body that's going, I miss this?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the dream would be to get to a point where we could spend a month or two out of the year in a big city. Because I do miss the theater and museums and dinner parties with all kinds of people. Yeah. But really, you know what? One solid month of that is probably about enough for me.
Okay, probably. Well, it's enough for me, but I don't know where else to go is my problem. So this is a book, and it's got all your adventures and misadventures and what it's like to catapult yourself from one lifestyle into another, and a lot of weird things happen that you probably never expected.
Yes, absolutely true. From the very first time I learned that our chickens had leg mites, and then I had to learn what a leg mite is, we encountered a lot of unexpected situations.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess you found poop in your purse at one point?
Well, luckily I didn't just find it. I had actually put it there. Problem was that I forgot it was there. Not because I have a strange fetish, but because our goat was sick, and the vet told me, hey, I can't diagnose what's wrong with your goat unless I get a fecal sample. So what are you going to do? I had a clean Dijon mustard jar, and I packed it up, and I intended to go to the vet straight away. But I'm a busy mom, and I had other errands to run. And it wasn't until the end of the day that I realized that I had, in fact, been carrying around a jar full of goat poop all day long.
Well, I mean, all right. Do you raise animals? Are they, do you do like chickens and things like that?
Oh, yeah. We have chickens, one homicidal rooster, a whole bunch of ducks at this stage. And then we have sheep, goats, alpacas. And I guess now cows. I mean, we have cows, and now we have horses.
How do you, without a staff, I mean, how do you deal with these animals and feeding them? And I mean, you do all this, you do this?
Well, I kind of jumped in with both feet last year, and so we got right into breeding the goat and then milking the goat. And that was extremely hands-on. And once you have an animal that is being milked, that's twice a day without fail. You have to go out and do that right now. Because we just moved to a new place, I kind of dialed it back a little bit. And none of the animals is pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And we don't have any little babies, and we're not dealing with milking. I may get back into that in the future. But when you don't have to milk them, really, they just stay in their paddock and eat their grass. They're kind of like charming lawnmowers.
So you don't have to milk cows if you don't want to?
Well, yeah, see, that's a thing I learned. They don't give milk unless they've just given birth.
Oh.
I thought cows just had a switch for milk.
Yeah.
But apparently it's connected to calving.
Oh.
So these are the things you learn.
I had no idea myself. This is fascinating. I think everybody's going to get the book because you're fun to talk to, and it sounds humorous and like a good time. Dirty Chick, True Tales of an Unlikely Farmer. It's out by Gotham. Just came out, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. Just last week.
Beautiful. Hey, best of luck to you. Pleasure talking to you. Sounds like a lot of fun. And have a great, safe trip back.
Oh, thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Antonia.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you for coming by and letting me speak to you. I'm going to do this again the next time a weekday rolls around, which could be pretty soon. But until that time arrives, well, I wish you peace.